Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, the 18th of June. Coming up in just a moment, we'll hear from the Bishop of Dover as we mark 25 years since nearly 60 asylum seekers were found dead in the back of a lorry. We'll also hear from the Met Office as a heat health alert is issued for Kent. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Plans for the transformation of Folkestone Harbour have been approved 5 months after similar proposals were rejected. More than 400 homes will now be built after Roger De Haan's Folkestone Harbour and Seafront Development Company revised its scheme. Among the changes were a 50% increase in public parking provision and a car club aimed at reducing the pressure on residential parking. Our reporter Oliver Leonard has spoken to Georgina Baker, who's been among residents fighting the development.
So Georgina, as someone who's campaigned against the development for so many years now, how do you feel about the decision this evening?
I think, quite honestly, gutted. I think it's a real letdown for the community. Everyone wants to have a lovely space there, and this is going to be years of building site, a monstrous design. It's awful.
And did you think it was a foregone conclusion tonight, really? Is this what you expected?
Yes, I believed it was going to happen because of the amount of money that potentially the area would lose from it if it didn't go through. So it does seem to be about money rather than our history and heritage, and we're going to be left with great big city blocks on our harbour space.
And so, yeah, how do you feel about the future of Folkestone now? Are you concerned?
I'm very concerned. If that is what the future holds, I won't want to live here. And I'm sure that those people that have come down here from London and other places as well who have come down here for the open space, the beauty of the sea, don't want to come down out of a city into a city. They don't come down here for a shopping complex. They come down here to enjoy what we've got, the open space. And also I don't feel it's the right place for the development anyway. I think we see storms down here. How is someone going to live on a 41 metre high block with that type of weather coming through? And it's dangerous. So I don't feel that they've considered that either.
Fellow campaigner Mark Hourihan has also been giving us his reaction.
Obviously, I'm disappointed, but I think it was expected, sadly inevitable. I do appreciate the fact that material planning matters, it was a tough decision. Potentially there may have been a little bit more could have been done, but it's a decision they had to make. It's a difficult decision.
So, but it's not the decision that you would have made?
No.
And what do you think this means for the future of Folkestone?
I think this is a permanent change to the landscape of Folkestone. I don't think that's necessarily a change for the better. It is a private housing development, which is not affordable to many people in Folkestone. And I'm not convinced by the tourist offering. More could have been done for the tourist offering. We've got a huge heritage in the harbour area, and the potential of that really hasn't been explored and tapped into, which is a great shame.
Click on the story at Kent Online to see what the development is expected to look like.
Kent Online News.
Kent communities will stop today to remember 58 asylum seekers who died while being smuggled into Dover in the back of a lorry 25 years ago. The Chinese nationals had been sealed inside the container in Rotterdam before travelling 18 hours with limited air and water. Their bodies were found by Port of Dover officers on June 18th in the year 2000. Lucy's been speaking to the Bishop of Dover, the Right Reverend Rose Hudson-Wilkin.
It is important that we mark the 25th anniversary of the deaths of those 58 people who were seeking asylum and whose lives ended up, they ended up dead, all but two of them in the back of a lorry here in Dover. We need to remember them and mark this occasion. Because in the remembering and the marking, I hope what we are saying is we must redouble our efforts to make sure that this does not happen again.
Yeah, I was going to ask you whether you think we've made any progress in the last 25 years to stop this kind of thing happening.
Sadly, there's been lots and lots of words over the last 25 years, but I am not sure that our words have or will make a great bit of difference, because what we see is people finding different avenues of arriving. And so it seems to me if we're really going to make any difference in this area, first of all, we have to ask, what are the safe routes that we are providing for those who feel that they need to seek asylum, that they need to find another way of migrating, leaving their countries of origin to come to Britain or any other country in the West? We have to be humane in our response and find ways of ensuring that they don't have to choose a route that is unsafe for them.
And of course, it's refugee week at the moment. Raising awareness and speaking about this issue is more important than ever. Can you tell me a bit about what's going on in Canterbury Cathedral with sort of the names of those who've lost their lives being commemorated there?
Yes, the names, very often we hear that people have died crossing the river. And actually, I'm sure that there are many others who die whose names we do not have. So, what we're doing in our crypt this week is we're calling out the names, we're saying the names. And the very act of saying the names is to note that these were human beings. They were somebody's child. They were somebody's daughter and son and grandchild and or parent for that matter. And so what we're doing is as it were, showing the human face when we don't hear the name and it's just regarded as a number. We think, oh, we don't connect with it. When we hear the name, we know someone gave birth to this person. Someone called them a name. They had a life, they had family, they had friends, people who still mourn their loss.
The 33-year-old driver of the lorry was eventually sentenced to 14 years in prison for his role in the operation. Nine others were also jailed. We've been speaking to an asylum seeker who arrived in the UK in the back of a lorry in 2015. Rishan now works with the Kent Refugee Action Network. She's also completed her studies and is working as a nurse. She says stories like this are particularly harrowing.
To hear from me, like the back of the lorry, because that's how I came to this country. I was in the back of the lorry. A lot of people comes in a different way, but nowadays we see from the boat. But in my case, when I came in 2015, that was the case. And to listen or to read, there is 59, 58 people have died in that kind of tragedy way. It's just make me like to think about myself. Why would I be different from those people? And why would I be here now talking to you and just telling about my story? There is a lot of hopes that who died along the way, lots of dreams, a lot of like people want to do something for their life and to seek safety. And it would take us back to the questions like why we're still allowing this to happen, and then why there is a lot of people dying since then until now that we're marking this tragedy. And just for us to think that it's not a normal story like day to day that people, oh, the numbers of people have died. And nowadays I feel like the public or the people opinion of that stories is like as a like something normal, like as a series of Netflix that we're watching, which is it shouldn't be that case. It should not be allowed since until now that we're happening. And a lot of people have died and a lot of people continue to come through that kind of way because there is no safety is being provided, safe route for them to be able to kind of apply there. And then so that's why like I feel like the need for humanitarian visa should be approached that needed the government to deal with it. Okay, I understand that putting a borders and then putting security for smugglers to stop the smugglers, because that's the whole idea. But what we've seen is a lot of people have died. A lot of people continue dying, dying along the way, hopes and dreams, and people just seeking safety. And I feel like it's just, we're repeating the same story over and over. We're marking 25th years of this tragedy. But along with the way, last year and the year before and the year before, like, for example, last year, 69, including women and children, have died. And that's just the highest number from 2019 to 2023. Why is that? Like, the question is, like, why allowing this to happen? Why are we allowing a lot of people to die? And I guess it's like, that's the approach of, like, border security and stopping the smugglers. That's not the solution for me, as a who came to the same story of those people but made it to here. Like, I think it's like humanitarian visa should be approached that is need the government to deal with it. A lot of things has been continuous, and the government we're hearing in this stopping the smugglers, but who's the people who died? Is those innocent people who comes to here?
Kent Online News.
Around 300 people gathered in Rochester yesterday to protest outside a company accused of supporting the war in Gaza. Medway Palestine Solidarity Campaign led a demonstration outside BAE Systems in Marconi Way. They say the business is supplying parts for guidance systems currently being used by the Israeli military. Ivor Riddell is one of the organisers.
We've known about BAE Systems supplying Israeli fighter jets for 20 years or so, which they've been doing. We've been up here before with protests. We were up here about a year and a half ago, a very similar sort of protest. And it's just about keeping that pressure on, keep pushing, keep putting, keep making sure that our government understands that what they do is not in our name, and that we will challenge them at every opportunity. To challenge the government, to challenge arms manufacturers, wherever they are, to let them know that we don't accept that what they're doing by supplying the Israeli regime with weapons that are being used to kill Palestinian people. We don't accept that, and we will keep holding them to account. And at some time, history will show that we were on the right side of history and they were not. But the problem is, being on the right side of history is all very well, but people are dying now. People are being murdered in their own homes in tents because the system wants to get rid of Palestinians out of their country.
They're calling for a full arms embargo on Israel. Emergency crews have been called to Wake Kent Beach after a child got trapped in a hole that had been dug in the sand. It's thought to have collapsed around them at Viking Bay in Broadstairs yesterday. Lifeguards managed to remove the youngster, who wasn't injured. A pregnant mum from Lenham has revealed how she had to flee her home with her three children after a fire broke out. Jade Cleggett was watching TV when the blaze started spreading from a neighbouring property in Douglas Road on Sunday. One house was completely destroyed and others were also damaged. Fundraising pages have been set up to help those affected. It's been revealed thousands of drivers have been fined after cameras were installed to enforce bus gates in Ashford. The route through Beaver Road is said to have been used as a rat run for years. Since the cameras were switched on in September last year, more than 2,200 motorists have been caught. It's £70 for each offence. Police are searching for the owner of a bicycle that was stolen from outside Rochester railway station. Someone apparently tried to remove several bikes from a rack last Tuesday evening before riding away on one. A 51-year-old was later arrested and police are hoping to reunite the bike with its owner. It's been confirmed the cost of using the Dartford Crossing is set to go up from September. For cars, it'll go up to £3.50. That's an increase of a pound. Other increases will depend on the size and type of the vehicle you're driving. Roads bosses say it's to ensure the effective operation of the crossing. Now, a Medway man is calling for a 20-foot-long fiberglass elephant to be returned after it was removed from his home by the local authority. Trevor Robinson rescued Ellie from the Strand Play Park after time was called on her 30 years of service. He put her in his driveway in Twiddle. It's been taken away by council over safety fears. They say it will be safely disposed of. Trevor's been speaking to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
It's been in my garden 2 months. All the kids from the school up there, they all love it. And it was just one neighbour who complained. And now it's got to go. Mm. But if this does any good and I can have it back, I'll have it back. It can come here and live with me for the rest of my days.
And the plan was to get it
Over that roof.
Over the roof with a big crane, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But the crane, you've got to get the road shut, and there's a lot more to it. So it's just taken longer. But before I could arrange it, the council said, no, it's got to go. Mm. The bloke who delivered it here, he came and he told me. Yeah, he said that he's going to lose his job if he don't remove it, because he was like contracted to take it to a tip, but I just wanted to rescue it. But yeah, they threatened to sack him if he didn't take it away. So he went and got his lorry, three blokes, and it was gone.
Shirley Daniel is a neighbour.
Unlike when it was in situ at the Strand, which was the appropriate setting for it, unlike that, it's not bolted together. It's just strung together with bits of old string and bits of old rope. And it was a complete mess. Initially, we thought, oh, well, because we'd heard on the grapevine that he was going to get a crane. And my husband and I thought, that's not going to happen. There's too many problems getting a crane here with road closures, people having to move cars in various roads. There's two schools at the top of the road, too much disruption. Plus, they wouldn't have been able to get over all the wires, which currently are crossing, or right across that property. So realistically, there was no way that was going in the back garden.
Kent Online News.
A heat health alert will come into force for Kent later, with forecasters saying the hot weather will continue into the weekend. Temperatures could climb as high as 30 degrees in some parts of the county this weekend. Jonathan Vautry is from the Met Office. He's been speaking to our colleague Gabriel Morris from KMTV.
This week is all about high pressure. It's building across the UK and initially allowing that day-on-day heating from all the sunshine that we'll be getting over the next few days. But as we head towards the end of the week, our high-pressure system will just drift its way off towards the east of the UK and allow a shift to more of a southerly wind across our patch. And that is going to be drawing in heat from areas of Spain and parts of continental Europe. And it's that heat that is arriving to us for the weekend and allowing our temperatures to soar.
Good. The UK, could Kent be hotter than some of our European counterparts, some of our holiday destinations over the next few days?
Well, since this heat is coming in from parts of continental Europe, essentially all areas of Europe are sort of heating up at the same time. So actually areas of inland Spain could be seeing temperatures of around 40 degrees Celsius over the next few days. We're unlikely to be seeing quite those high of a temperatures, but still turning hot nonetheless.
Just how hot could it get for us here in Kent Friday and over the weekend?
For Kent, certainly high 20s. It is very likely as we head towards the end of the week. That is already a good 9-10 degrees above average, what we'd normally expect for this point in June. There's the smaller chance that we do just manage to see 30 degrees Celsius more across inland areas up towards the north border of Kent. Generally, because you are quite coastal, there will be a fresh breeze around those coastal regions, and that will hold temperatures back a little bit more, but that might be refreshing for many people that are wanting to escape some of the heat. But worth just still taking care if you are heading out to the sea over the next few days.
Now, I'm aware it's not you who issue this, but we've got a yellow heat health alert today for the southeast and many places across the UK. Tell us a little bit about why that had to come in for this weekend.
Heat health alerts are issued by UKHSA, which is the health authorities. They're mainly issued for the NHS as a sort of pre-warning to them that they could see an increasing rise in patients over the next few days. And so they will need to be putting measures in place to make sure that they are ready for that sort of influx of patients as we head over the next few days.
Brilliant. And is this normal for this time of year? Because we often quite often see now hotter summers. This time of June, is this above average for this sort of weather, what we're getting at the moment?
These temperatures are above average for the time of year. 30 degrees Celsius in June is not unprecedented under the current climate. We've hit 30 degrees Celsius across the UK in the last eight of those 10 years, we've hit 30 degrees Celsius. There are signs that we could push towards more sort of low mid 30s later on during the weekend and into the start of next week. That would certainly be pushing towards more on the way of unprecedented sort of territory and sort of potential for records, but there's still a lot of margin for error in that regard just yet.
The alert comes into force at midday today and lasts until 6 p.m. on Sunday. Bosses in Sevenoaks have agreed to loan more than £450,000 to the operators of a leisure centre in Swanley. It's after White Oak Leisure Centre said due to increasing costs, they need more investment to carry on being a successful hub in the community. The new facility will include a steam room, sauna and aromatherapy room. It's hoped it'll open in January. Meanwhile, there are plans to build a housing estate on the old site of the White Oak Leisure Centre. It would see a block of 45 apartments and 15 townhouses built where it used to stand, as well as parking facilities. It's not known when we can expect a decision on the proposals. It's claimed a laundry and overnight support service for elderly people living in sheltered housing is putting severe pressure on a council's housing budget. The Sheltered Plus scheme, which covers 120 properties in Canterbury and Whitstable, had to be subsidised with £200,000 worth of taxpayers' money last year. Our reports reveal the service is significantly over budget and plans have been put forward to cut the cost. A handyman who's been helping to clean up the streets of Folkestone for more than 10 years has had his job axed. Peter Phillips has been working as the town sprucer since 2012, but now fears it will be left in a mess with no one to do the work. He was let go by the Sunflower House charity in April due to a lack of funds. And Rosemary Schrager is due to arrive in Dover today as she finishes her charity bike ride. The TV chef has cycled from Land's End to the White Cliffs as part of her Two Wheels for Meals challenge. She's hoping to raise £100,000 for food poverty charities.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a look at football, and Gillingham forward Ollie Hawkins has been released by the club. The 33-year-old will link up with Barnet after spending 2.5 years at Priestfield. He scored once in 27 appearances this season. Plans to build a new football pavilion in Sevenoaks have been given a major funding boost. A grant of more than £750,000 has been awarded for the project, a Greatness Recreation Ground. It's part of efforts by the Premier League, FA and government to improve grassroots facilities. To cricket, and it's a home game for Kent in the T20 Blast tonight. The Spitfires are taking on Gloucestershire at Canterbury. It follows their 4-run win over Somerset on Sunday. Plays due to get underway at 6:30. And if you missed it yesterday, Kent's Emma Raducanu will join forces with 5-time Grand Slam tennis champion Carlos Alcaraz for the new US Open mixed doubles format. 10 of the top 11 women and men singles rankings will take part in the event at Arthur Ashe. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.